We've been serving Santa Rosa and West Sonoma County for 18 years, streaming to the world at kosfm.com from our studios in Santa Rosa. You can visit our website to listen, donate, or volunteer. You can download the new Radio Rethink streaming app from the App Store. There's a bunch of different streaming apps you can find us. My name is Colin Mutchler, and this is going to be a new show that is called Remembering Ourselves. I'll get into it in a little bit. But before I did that, I wanted to make sure that we tell you about a few things. So here's a public service announcement that I'm going to read for you from Forgotten Felines. Forgotten Felines of Sonoma County is a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting and improving the lives of feral cats through local spay-neuter programs, placement services, community outreach, and nationwide education. Established in Sonoma County in 1990, Forgotten Felines neuter and spray programs are funded by its thrift store, pick of the litter, community grants, and from private donations from community members like you. Please visit their website and find out how to volunteer or donate. That is Forgotten Felines, Forgottenfelines, ForgottenFelines.com. They also can be reached by phone at 707-576-7999. And then I'd also wanted to share about our underwriters. There's first one I'd like to thank is SolarWorks. We thank SolarWorks for supporting KOWS Radio from the beginning. SolarWorks has encouraged COW's listeners to support local businesses, producers, and providers. Remember, a healthy community depends on a strong local economy. SolarWorks, giving people the power to make a difference since 1986. Solar electricity is even more affordable with the federal tax credit. For more info, visit solarworksca.com or call 829-8282. One more underwriter we'd like to thank is glass artist Valerie Adams for her support. Valerie offers unique, functional, fused glass art, gift items, interior design accessories, and custom artwork at Modern Fused Glass. Visit her online at ValerieAdamsGlass.com. That's Valerie, V-A-L-E-R-I-E, AdamsGlass.com, or follow her on her Facebook page at Modern Fused Glass. She can be reached by phone at 707-539-4400. And then lastly, KOWS welcomes Corix, the oldest stationery store in Sonoma County. We thank them for their support. Located at 637 4th Street in Santa Rosa, they host a year-round art gallery of art trails artists and hold an art opening on the first of each month. Their Winter Wonderland Christmas shop features handmade items from Germany and around the world. Find out more about this Sonoma County institution by visiting their store or their website, which is Corix, Corix.com, and they can be reached at 707-546-2424. Again, we appreciate all of our underwriters here at KWS, Occidental 92.5. I will come back with more about my show in a second. I just want to start us off with some beautiful sounds from my early days, George Winston. Thank you. George Winston from his famous album, Autumn. This is the fall here in Sonoma County. My name is Colin Mutchler. I'm your host of Remembering Ourselves, a show that explores the music and culture of our past in order to ground us as we move into deeper relationship with each other and the natural world. This is my first show, and I wanted to start by really introducing myself and the personal context I'm in as we begin to our relationship. I don't know really who's out there, who's listening right now live at KWS FM 92.5 in Occidental, but I'm here in the studio in Santa Rosa, and I live now in Monterio, and my family and I moved to Monterio full-time in 2020 from Oakland, from the East Bay. We had moved to Northern California in 2010, 5 years in the city and 5 years in the East Bay, and at some point fell in love with Sonoma County, the Russian River in particular. Myself and a group of friends was part of the group that owned the Rio Theater from about 2014 into the pandemic. And I have just loved the broader land and waters of this area since I first got to know them. But my early childhood, I mostly grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey. I was born in Bellingham, Washington, and but moved to New Jersey when I was 7 years old. And my father was from New Jersey, and my mother was from Los Angeles. So most of my upbringing was in the Northeast, but I feel like I've got a West Coast soul. And as an adult, most of my life I lived in cities. In Brooklyn and New York City was the first city I lived in as an adult after college. And then I went to graduate school internationally and lived in London for a few years before moving to California. And so I was energized by cities. I also was a big believer in the internet. When it first came out, I graduated college in 1999, and I felt like our best chance to change society for good was through the internet. And I worked for years to help use the internet to democratize culture and power and to amplify underrepresented voices. I created a company called Louder, which gave people the opportunity to crowdfund promotion for important voices and ideas to reach new audiences through the channel of advertising, which usually we think of as something that's only available to commercial interests. I was trying to democratize that channel. And but in many ways, looking back on that time from here, from 2024, with the context of our our time over these last few years, I think the truth is that we largely failed, those of us that really worked for technology and an internet that would really help society and to, improve culture. I do think that new voices have been heard. I think that has happened, but we're also spending more time isolated and disconnected from each other. We have a culture of distraction and disconnection and loneliness. And I think that in that context, during the pandemic, my family moved up to Villa Grande, near Monterio, a few miles from where the river meets the coast. And, we've got two young kids, Nico and Ellis. They were about 4 and 1 when we moved up here and are now 9 and 6. And I think when I first moved to Monterio, partly why I stayed was because I felt for the first time in my life a deeper connection to the land and the waters and the other animals, that were there. I think I've always, in theory, believed in a connection to nature. I camped a lot as a kid, and I have always felt that kind of sense of connection to nature that I'm sure a lot of people do. But living in cities, you're not constantly reminded of it. And so living in Sonoma County was the first time I really felt like a deeper connection to a place in a deep way. And I started working with the Russian River Historical Society. I helped put together a show to help celebrate their 40th year anniversary last year called The River Remembers at the Rio Theater. And did another event celebrating the history of Rio Nido earlier this spring. And I've started collaborating with people across various generations and backgrounds across the North Bay who are seeking a more grounded and inclusive experience of our shared history. I do think, in general, people look towards the history of their own families, of course, and then their own peoples. But I think in this land, in the United States, in North America, in Turtle Island, we've just got here. We just arrived. If we think back more deeply, people have been living on these lands for, tens of thousands of years. And so we are relatively new. And I do think, given the state of our current society, it is in all of our interests to take a deeper look back at the ancestral practices of all peoples, our own peoples and the peoples of this land in particular, the Pomo and the Wapo and the Miwok, the Kashaya, and getting to know the current generation that's rising, that also remembers through their oral histories and their families, the practices that allowed them to live well on these lands for a long, long, long time. So during this show, I'm going to be inviting guests to bring music from different phases of their life. This idea for the show actually came from me joining as DJ for a day on KRCB and just sharing music. And I realized that it was meaningful to talk about music and had its influence on my life. And I thought it would be a nice way to have conversations with people. The prompt that I've given people is to bring two songs from their early life, from before when they chose their own music. So it could be songs you heard in the house or in the car with a parent. And then two songs from their coming of age. So when they first started to really get into music for themselves, first started to fall in love with music. And then two more songs from this current period since the pandemic. And then using those songs as context, we'll explore these times together with an eye towards how we might move out of this period of disconnection and loneliness into a new era of connection and reunion. So with that, I thought I would play a few songs from my early childhood. The first one you heard earlier was off of George Winston, which I remember playing in the house kind of on like a rainy, winters and falls. There's those albums from Windham Hill Records are very special. There's that autumn one. There's the December one from George Winston. But that was kind of more my mom's music, but it was all of ours we listened to. So I'll play two more songs now that are also from those early days before I chose music. The first one, which I think is, you know, represents music that is popular here in Sonoma County from a lot of us, but it was in my household too. My father and his brothers and sisters really loved the Grateful Dead, and I do too. So I'll give you Uncle John's Band. John's Band, one of the all-time greats from the Dead, played in my household a lot. There's a bunch of greats. Obviously, the American Beauty I loved. Recently, I learned of the Reckoning album, but Grateful Dead is, you know, a unique combination of soulful lyrics, you know, good music, and great harmonies. Another song I chose was off of an album that we used to play in the house a lot that I remember dancing to. I remember it was one of the times with the parents would be up dancing to. And this song in particular off of Graceland was one that got everybody in the family to dance. You Can Call Me Al.
Says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Just a beer melon, beer melon. Get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me out, call me out.
You Can Call Me Out, Paul Simon. Great album. I mean, Paul Simon is, I think, one of the great songwriters of that era. You know, good lyrics, good singing, And obviously Graceland, you know, borrows heavily from the music of South Africa. But he's a great talent. So that's an example of some of the music that was coming in my household in suburbs of New Jersey back in the 80s and early 90s. When I thought about, you know, what were some of the music that I started choosing myself, I thought to, like, what was the first music I actually purchased? And the actual, I bought three cassette tapes, I think, it was this small record store in Closter, New Jersey, and I think I bought three. The first one was Billy Joel Stormfront for We Didn't Start the Fire. The second was Milli Vanilli. I love that song, Blame It on the Rain. And they're obviously a tragic and a very amazing story. I still need to see the documentary that came out recently about them. And then the last was Skid Row. I loved that song, I Remember You, 18 and a Life. But those were the first three. And then when I think back a little bit later, when I really came into my own, you know, I was still just listening to the radio and kind of choosing stuff off of Z100. I remember liking, you know, Vanilla Ice and some of the other poppy stuff that I heard. But it wasn't until I went to college. I went to college in 1995 through 1999. I went to Duke in North Carolina. And I remember my freshman year, there was some other kids on my hall that were learning how to play guitar. And, you know, we were kind of teaching each other how to play guitar. And everybody had, you know, different musical tastes. There was one guy that was super into, like, Megadeth and Metallica and had these, like, epic solo guitar solos. I was more like singer-songwriter type. But I was influenced by my now wife, Christy George, when we were in late high school and into college, who introduced me to some songs that were not on the radio, but I thought were amazing. Of some more female artists. The one that I'll play that I think is, I'll play a sample of one song off of an album that I think is just really great. This is, it's called Divorce Song, and it's from Exile in Guyville, Liz Phair. A whole suite of singers, of female singers that I got exposed to. The Indigo Girls, that album. I mean, there's Galileo, but there's so many songs of that album that were amazing. There was Tori Amos, Crucify, Silent All These Years, and of course, Ani DiFranco, who I think for me, became like the most, you know, the best. I feel like for a while there, I held her in a similar category of Bob Dylan. Like, she's just like such a strong musician, lyrically, building songs that spoke to, you know, our times, both like not just politically from a woman's perspective, but politically from a people's perspective. I just thought, you know, I think a few of those albums that came out during that time, like, I forget what it was called, the Pink Plastic Pink Castle or something. The one after that, Up, 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 I just thought was really good. But I'll play a piece of one of the songs I think is one of her greats. It's called Buildings and Bridges. Doesn't bend, break. What doesn't bend, break. Monty DeFranco, Buildings and Bridges. Later in college, I remember finally being exposed to some different hip hop. I think, you know, when I was young, I was, you know, graduated high school in 95. So this was the heart of, there was, you know, a lot of pop hip hop out there. But I wasn't really exposed to any of the underground stuff until I was in college. And I remember I was in North Carolina, and I remember the first album, I think I heard that song Changes by Tupac, where he basically just says a lot of really strong, clear, like social, you know, justice messaging. And I was like, wow, oh wow, I didn't realize you could say so much in a song. And then I remember the first hip hop album I ever really listened to was from Outkast Aquemini. And that was the first time I like listened to a whole album and really got into it. And also they just, you know, those two people, Andre 3000 and Big Boy, they're just like, Andre 3000 in particular, just such a interesting, awesome human. And just the voice was something very different and out there. So I'll play a little sample from Aquemini, and then a song from one of my other top MCs from that period, and then I'll come back.
Even the sun goes down, heroes eventually die. Horoscopes often lie, and sometimes lie. Nothing is for show, nothing is for certain. Nothing lasts forever, but until they close the curtain. It's Tim and I, Aquemini. Thank you.
Now it's time to get on life, Spike Lee said get on the bus. Go get your work and keep your beeper chirping, it's a must. Get you on that dust, cornstarch, familiar with that smack, man. The music is like that green stuff, provided to you by Sack Man, Pac-Man. You think we gon' do that, man? Ride, ride, no national, no teams without no gap, man. I'm strapped, man, get rid of the bus on any nigga like that, man. Me and my nigga, we roll together like Batman and Robin. We pray together through hard times, swung hard when it was fitting. But now we tapping the brakes from off them corners that we be bending. And Volkswagen and Bonnevilles, Chevrolets and Coupe Villes. If you ain't got no rims, nigga, don't get no wood grain steering wheel, for real. You can go chill out of steel wheel, let your paper stack instead of going to Oakkey.
I realize I don't have the radio edit here, so maybe I'll put that down. There seems to be a few bad words there. Apologies for the listeners. The other artist that really impacted me in hip hop when in college and right after college, I moved to Brooklyn, back to the New York area after graduating, and I was exposed to Mos Def and Talib Kweli, who went by Black Star, and that album, and then Mos Def's Black on Both Sides album right after that, were very influential to me. I remember my father kind of making fun of me because I was like the white boy, who, you know, trying to be a rapper or whatever. But it was, it was opening my mind. You know, I think that it is true that the experience they were talking about was not my experience. And also I felt like I was being educated in a way that our education system hadn't, you know. I was not exposed to, a true diversity of experience. I think where I grew up in Northeast New Jersey, Bergen County, was, you know, middle and upper middle class. I think my high school was like mostly white, 30% Korean, and some others, but I think we might have only had a handful of black students in our class. And we lived, you know, right near New York City. And then I went to college, and Duke University at that time, at least, was still relatively segregated. You know, there was like a kind of dominant culture that was mostly white. And others mixed in. And then you had actually parallel to that, a very strong, black culture that was, and you had an international, culture too, that was more the folks from all over the world. But for somebody like me, that was like a nice white guy that didn't really try too hard to meet other people. I ended up just realizing at the end of my college experience that I hadn't really met that many black folks. You know, I hadn't really, you know, and as somebody who comes from the dominant perspective, I needed to do more work. And I did study abroad my junior year of college in Bolivia. And that did open my eyes a lot. That was like, I lived with a family in Cochabamba, Bolivia, with another student. And we learned, and our courses were about the history of economics and politics of the country of Bolivia, which, for those that don't know, it's like one of the poorest countries in the Americas. And, compared to the United States, where the native population is very small at this point, there it was like, at that point, I think it was still like 70% of the population was indigenous. And so while the Spanish did come and there was a lot of things that happened there, it wasn't as traumatic of an impact as here in North America. So in many ways, you know, learning about what happened in the history there, and then also in the more recent past, learning about how the United States government had, you know, intervened in a lot of the national politics of Bolivia related to the war on drugs, like, it opened my mind a lot. And when I came back home to the United States and finished college, it made me want to go further in terms of my education, learn more. And it made me more skeptical of the dominant media and narratives. But one artist that I wanted to share that, you know, I loved, and also my family ended up loving too, during the same era, there was, I think there was this one, I think it was my Uncle Wayne's 50th birthday, I want to say, in Portland, Oregon, and we were hanging out, and it ended with like these two albums that we put on. The whole family just danced. The first one was Manu Chao, Clandestino, that album, and then the second one was Mos Def's Black on Both Sides. So I'll play a little bit from Clandestino and a track from Mos Def, and then we'll take it from there.
Soy una raya en el mar, fantasma en la ciudad. Mi vida va prohibida, dice la autoridad. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino por no llevar papel. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. En el clandestino, yo soy el quiebra ley. Mano negra clandestina, peruano clandestino, africano clandestino, marihuana ilegal. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley, perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Argelino clandestino, nigeriano clandestino, boliviano clandestino, mano negra ilegal.
You know the deal. Beast by Supremo for all of my people, Negroes and Latinos, and even the gringos. Yo, check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the fourth coming live, future shot. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven firmaments of heaven to hell, 8 million stories to tell, nine planets faithfully keep in orbit with the probable tenth. The universe expands length, the body of my text possess extra strength, power lifted, powerless, up out of this towering inferno. My ink so hot it burned through the journal. I'm blacker than midnight on Broadway at Myrtle. Hip hop passed all your tall social hurdles, like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex, working class poor, better keep your alarm set. Streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring. Say it back in with your sleep. It's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get they chip back. You dead now. Killing fields need blood to graze the cash cow. So numbers game don't add up somehow. Like I got 16 to 32 bars to rock it, but only 15% of profits ever seen my pockets. Like 69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear. Like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key, a 5 minute sentence hearing and you're no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone, so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right, you are not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror dome. Full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers, young teens in prison greens facing life numbers. Crack mothers, crack babies and AIDS patients. Young bloods can't spell, but they can rock you a PlayStation. This new math is whip his ass. You wanna know how to rhyme, you better learn how to add. It's mathematics.
Mathematics, Mos Def, off of Black on Both Sides. That whole album was very influential to me, just to hear him drop so much wisdom about things that I had not learned in school. In many ways predates some of the skepticism that we're seeing more broadly these days in 2024. Again, this is Colin Mutchler. I'm your host. This is Remembering Ourselves, where we explore the music and culture of our past in order to ground us as we move into deeper relationship with each other and the natural world. This is my first show, and on this show, I'm just by myself, and I'm following a path that I will bring guests along in future shows. I will have a guest bring six songs, two from the earlier in their life before they chose their own music, either songs that they heard in the house at home or in the car with a parent or caregiver, and then two from their coming of age, you know, when they started to really fall in love with music and love music, and that's the phase that I just shared. And then two other songs from these times, from the pandemic until now. And I'm here at KOWS 92.5, broadcasting from Occidental, California. And it's great to be here. I hope you are well wherever you are. Here in Sonoma County, we are in the cold period. It has arrived. Next week, it looks like we're going to get our first atmospheric river kind of situation, high winds, the whole deal. So we went, you know, pretty quickly from late summer in, you know, in like October. I feel like early October we had some really hot days, and now suddenly it's coming for us. So be prepared. Get your gutters cleaned, and you know, move everything that can't be wet out into your yards. So let's move on now into. You know, from that time of when I was coming of age, this is in, you know, the early 2000s, and move up to now. So, you know, it's about, you know, 10 or 15 years. And as I reflect back, I'm now 48 years old. So this was like, you know, I was in my 20s in the 2010s. You know, that was a period for me and for a lot of people of my generation of a lot of hope. You know, we had hope for the internet and for technology and for social media and crowdfunding to really, you know, help things. You know, we were, you know, the tech world was, the tech startup world was kind of the rebels. And I rooted for us. I thought we could make a difference. I know I was slightly less on the commercial side. I was more on the kind of civic and social justice side of technology. But even there, you know, I think, you know, when YouTube first came out, you know, podcasting and Facebook and Twitter, I remember those years when, you know, when Twitter first became popular. I think I was at South by Southwest Interactive, and I remember, you know, people who were bloggers that were like becoming well known for the first time, and it felt like a time of possibility. And I think that I think there was like a naivete now looking back that everybody who jumped in would kind of have similar spirit to those of us that were there, like kind of like the open source culture, open source software culture, or the Creative Commons culture, if you know of that. It was like a, you know, the free software. It was like people who were generally trying to make the best out of, you know, with pretty good intentions, and there wasn't yet the like spammers or the you know, the people who are actively maliciously trying to mess with people. And I think there was still some humor. I think memes definitely started back then. But as it became more and more popular, you know, and Facebook and then Instagram and others just became, you know, so popular. It became, everybody was there suddenly, you know, our parents were on Facebook, and, you know, the bullies were on Twitter and Facebook and these places, and the spammers came, you know, and the spammers came, and the advertisers took over. You know, let's be clear about that. I think that the advertising model in many ways is the thing that usually breaks every medium. You know, I don't know if anybody's read this book by Tim Wu called The Master Switch, but it's a really great book that goes back and looks at each major medium, from the original radio to, I guess it was AM radio, then to FM radio, then to broadcast television, looked at film. And, you know, each one of those started a little differently. Radio was actually more similar to the internet in the beginning, where it was kind of a new technology that sometimes people just started. It was kind of like people just doing their own thing out of nowhere. But then once commercial advertising discovered that broadcast model, where basically they got sponsors to do ads on their shows, that became the model that succeeded. And so then commercial radio basically went after that. And then with television, it just launched with that. So the default for television was, you know, the advertising model that we now know. But, you know, film is interesting. You know, film is like one of these mediums that, that, you know, now shows ads before the film, if you're at the movie theater. But I guess actually just recently, you know, as these new streamers have needed to monetize more, or now suddenly you're suddenly getting ads in the middle of a movie again, which is a bummer. But for a while there, the film theaters actually were unique. You know, film as a medium feels more artistic than TV shows, for example. And I think it's because of that. And the internet started out in totally indie, you know, totally no advertising. And then search, I think, was a better version of advertising for many years. I think that partly why Google succeeded so much was because they actually were able to be helpful with their recommendations that were advertising. They were actually useful ads. But, you know, as the feeds took over and Instagram and Facebook became the default, where essentially the goal was just to get your attention and monetize your attention, you know, that this, it feels more similar to television now, like TikTok and Face and Instagram, and these more like immersive video-based platforms feel pretty similar to TV, and it's really just trying to get your attention and then monetize your attention. And that, you know, it just kind of gets annoying, you know, then the commercial interests take over, and, you know, the algorithms are just optimized to get, you know, the addiction of these phones is very good. And I felt it too. You know, I feel like in these last few years, as I've had children and then, you know, been addicted to my phone and to these various services and tried to pull myself away, even in the good civic sense, I feel like those of us that pay attention to the news and trying to like be a good citizen, and, you know, we're all overwhelmed with anxiety about national politics. Like, we didn't always pay attention to national politics every day, you know, or every 2 hours. You know, obviously the first Trump era was particularly insane, but I don't think it's gotten better. It's still just like we're supposed to know everything all the time. It's just not healthy. So I think as I've transitioned during this pandemic period, like I said earlier, moving up to the river, having young children, I've realized, you know, through many, you know, many people, my wife in particular, and a book that she read and shared and has done a project about called How to Do Nothing by Jenny Odell. My wife Christy's project is called The Emergency Was Curiosity. But essentially, Jenny Odell's book, the themes of it are essentially about reclaiming our attention from this distraction of our times with, you know, the social media, et cetera. And I think we're all facing it. I think the kids are dealing with it the most, but I think the parents are addicted too. You know, our kids give us the feedback that like we've got to put down the phones and hang out. So during this time, when I thought about like what music represents this time, of this time since the pandemic, we listened to a few things during the pandemic. I remember we went through a whole phase of listening to Taylor Swift's Folklore album. The kids liked it. It was calming for them in the car. And then more recently, I became a big fan of the band Big Thief. Their recent album, we started listening to, and I think the singer is just, she's like one of the greats too, I think. I mean, her lyrics are just particularly beautiful, and she's got an interesting voice that's challenging for some. I think in a similar way to Bob Dylan's voice, it's not like always perfect, but it's unique and provocative and interesting. So I'm going to play a few songs from this era to close us out. We're up on about 10 minutes to the hour. It's been nice to be here with you all, whoever's listening. Again, my name is Colin Mutchler, and this is Remembering Ourselves. I'll be on the odd Mondays, so the first and third and sometimes fifth Mondays here on KOWS. But I'll play a few songs and then close this out. This one is called Simulation Swarm. Swarm from Big Thief. The next one I want to play for you all from this era is from an artist called Waxahachie. The name of this song is called Fire.
That's what I wanted. It's not a
Waxahachie with Fire, a song and an album that I listened to a lot over these last few years. I know Waxahachie gave up drinking alcohol. I also just recently stopped drinking alcohol and have found it to be grounding. You know, I've faced a lot of times in my life where I felt overwhelmed and anxious, and have always been somebody that thinks about big ideas and gets really excited about things, a bit of a roller coaster emotionally. And I've recently started getting up early in the morning as it's becoming dawn, and going down to the river by my house and just spending time being there, witnessing the transition from darkness to light, and all the sounds and all the animals, mostly birds and insects, and it's been great. So thank you all for those of you that are listening. This is the first episode of Remembering Ourselves, where we look back at the music and culture of our past to ground ourselves as we move beyond these times of disconnection and loneliness and into hopefully a period of renewal and reconnection with each other and the more than human world. Again, I'm your host, Colin Mutchler. I'll be here every 2 weeks, pretty much, first and third Mondays here on KOWF.
It's 4 o'clock.
Serving Santa Rosa and West Sonoma County at 92.5 FM and the entire world at KOWSFM.com. This is Cowes Community Radio, KOWSLP in